We're here on Atlantic Richfield Company's Eugene Island Platform 175, visiting with Mr. C.A. Hutchinson, who is manager of ARCO's South Texas District, which encompasses the offshore area from about the Mississippi River down to the Rio Grande, and onshore in some 40 Texas counties. Chuck, what are your operations here on Eugene Island 175?
Well, we have a four platforms sitting out here. It's primarily an oil production operation. We're producing, at the moment, somewhere over 7,000 barrels a day. And, of course, the associated gas. This is an oil field, though, not a gas field. What you can see here behind us is the B platform. That's a quarters platform, and also has our subsea pump down equipment. This is one of the few places here in the Gulf we have subsea wells. These were drilled back about mid-1960s. I have seven of them still operating. They're getting pretty old now, though, and a subsea well is pretty tough to work on. So that we're doing some replacement work with all the old original pump down equipment is sitting over on B. This platform right here is actually the production platform, and all the operations go on here. Behind you is the D. We have 18 wells, all duals, operating out of that platform. All its production comes over here, though, for handling, then transportation to shore.
How long? We're here on Atlantic Richfield Company's Eugene Island Platform 175, visiting with C.A. Hutchinson, who is manager of ARCO's South Texas District, which encompasses most of the Gulf Coast area from the Mississippi down to the Rio Grande, and onshore in some 40 Texas counties. Chuck, what are your operations here on Eugene Island?
Well, right now we're standing on the causeway between the B and C platform. B over here behind us is the quarters. And C is primarily a production platform. This is an oil field. We're producing somewhat in excess of 7,000 barrels a day at the moment, right here. And of course, the associated gas. Over on B, we have some of our old subsea completions. Used to have eight of them. Right now, we have seven that are spread all over this basic area. We're on the east flank of a major salt dome. Over behind you, you can see our D platform. Have some 18 wells over there, 36 completions. All the production comes from there on over to here. It's handled here in the C platform. You see a little old rascal over there. That's we just drilled that well and made a new platform. We call it the E platform. It sort of looks, it's hardly a major Gulf platform.
How long have you had the subsea systems in out here?
Oh, I think the first subsea wells were drilled about 64 or 65.
Have they been much trouble to maintain?
Well, they've required an awful lot of ingenuity, because every bit of work that you want to do down the hole, you have to do with equipment that you pump down from the surface and then pump it back out. So they are difficult, and if anything very serious occurs, we have to move in a rig and essentially start over. So as we're getting into serious problems, as the wells get older, we're eliminating them and drilling off something like the D platform over there.
I see. How big is ARCO's operations here in the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, actually, you may recognize that Atlantic is one of the four partners in the CAGC operation. Now, that's operated almost entirely by Continental. But since we're one-fourth of that, why, it makes us pretty big. As far as our own operations are concerned, right here is a fairly good-sized oil field. We've got gas operations off High Island, Texas. We're drilling here, all the way from the Mississippi down to Corpus Christi at the moment, so that we cover a lot of area. We have an awful lot of acreage for exploration. As far as production is concerned, this area and that off High Island is that which we operate. But as part of CAGC, we got a bunch.
Got a bunch. Where does your production go from this platform?
Well, the oil production is piped in to the northwest to Gibson. The gas goes over in right out in this area, meets the Michigan-Wisconsin line, goes almost directly to shore towards Patterson, about 80 miles to shore.
So we're about 80 miles out into the Gulf from Patterson, Louisiana.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's move on over here and take a look around some more. This is kind of an interesting platform, and maybe we can see some more things. Atlantic Richfield Company's Eugene Island Platform 175, a production platform in the Gulf of Mexico, visiting with C.A. Hutchinson, manager of Atlantic's offshore district from about the Mississippi Island, or the Mississippi River, rather, down to the... We're here on Atlantic Richfield Company's Eugene Island 175 production platform in the Gulf of Mexico, visiting with Mr. C.A. Hutchinson, manager of Atlantic's South Texas District. It's an area that encompasses most of the offshore from the Mississippi River down to the Rio Grande, and onshore in some 88 Texas counties. Chuck, tell us a little bit about your operations here on Eugene Island.
Well, we're sitting on top of an oil field, and you're on a causeway between the B and C platforms. The B platform behind us is the quarters, and that's, of course, where we landed on the chopper. Also on the B platform, we have our subsea pump-down equipment for the some seven subsea wells that we have spread all over this general area. The B platform itself is a, or the C platform here, is a production platform. There are no wells that come directly into this. The wells are primarily over on D, which is behind you, and E over here to my right. We have 18 wells, all duals, there on D, and a dual here on E. We're producing somewhere in the order of, well, a little over 7,000 barrels a day. It's east flank of a fairly major salt dome. It's production. It's been on stream for some time. The first wells were drilled here in about 1957.
How old are your subsea completions?
I think the first subsea went in at about 1964. We had eight of them. At this moment, we have seven.
Okay, we're here on the, this is the E platform, isn't it, Chuck?
That's right.
Well, this is a pretty impressive piece of hardware you have behind you. What's the total cost on this platform configuration out here?
Well, of course, this was put in about 3 years ago. The C platform, which we're looking at right here behind us, without all of the production equipment on it, is about a $6 million platform. You've got about $2 million worth of equipment sitting up on top. We're sitting in about 100 feet of water, actually 85. Rule of thumb for a platform that is in 100 feet of water, a specific production platform of this nature, this is going to be somewhere between $6 and $12 million. Now, if you want to go out to 1,000 feet, well, you can multiply that by at least a factor of 10.
I see. Well, how many platforms, total platforms, are there in the Gulf of Mexico today?
Well, you throw me a loop on that. I don't carry those numbers exactly around, but at the moment, I believe it's about 675 active platforms. But there have been about 150 that used to be out here that aren't here anymore. I think it's 17 of those are gone down with hurricanes.
I see. You just told me you had one go down right off this platform.
Yes, right over here, the A platform was stationed a long time ago. It's on the south flank of this dome. And it went down a hurricane, oh, I can't remember how long ago, but it's well over a decade ago.
I see. So we've been in the Gulf of Mexico for a long time now, haven't we?
Oh, I think the Gulf of Mexico basically started right after World War II. Of course, at that time, the leases first opened up and the drilling started, and it's just blossomed since then.
Chuck, it really doesn't, it may not seem like it today, what with all this wind and the pretty heavy tide, but the Gulf of Mexico is probably one of the simplest areas or the least hazardous or hostile environments for man to produce oil and gas out of. Obviously, that has a cost factor involved with it also. What do you think comparatively speaking, how does the Gulf of Mexico compare with, say, the North Sea or even the Gulf of Alaska in terms of cost?
Well, we have some basic cost indexes that we use, or indices. Comparing to the North Sea, use a factor of 2. The Gulf of Alaska, use a factor of 3. Take offshore California, and I think about 1.25 to 1.5. But you have to recognize you're not going to see a platform like this in the North Sea. They use an entirely different technology because of the hostile environment. But to accomplish the same purposes, you can use about twice the cost that it costs us here in the Gulf.
Well, would the converse hold true? Would we be seeing any, such as the concrete structures in the Gulf of Mexico in years to come?
Well, I somewhat doubt that we see the concrete structures. We're going to see new things, particularly as we get deeper and deeper. Wells are now being drilled in 1,300 feet of water, and the technology that we can see used here in 100 feet of water is not applicable there. We'll see the tension leg, the articulated column, guide columns. Of course, we'll see some quite a bit more subsea equipment as we get into the deeper water.
Okay, let's walk over here for a few minutes and look at your Christmas tree. That's kind of a neat looking instrument over there.
Right here, Rod. Great.
Well, let's see, you've got about 11-man permanent crew on here, but I understand that in the event of a major hurricane or something, the platform operation is so fully automated that it will more or less operate on itself by itself.
Oh yes, we can actually control this from our shore base, and we can continue operation as long as the pipeline is operating. Once that pipeline has to shut down, then we have to shut down because we just can't pile up the oil and gas. But it is completely automated.
Well, you mentioned a few moments ago about the different types of structures going on or being put up in the Gulf of Mexico, being tested out here. Can you comment on some of those?
Well, actually, the one that intrigues me the most is being tested in California. It's the tension leg platform. With the type of platform we're standing on, the deeper the water, the more it costs. You start in 100 feet, and it costs you $10 million. You get to 1,000 feet, and it costs you $100 million. The tension leg is not particularly a function of, the cost is not particularly a function of water depth. So this is going to allow us to go into much deeper water. Exxon has a test going on here in the Gulf with the guide platform. It has some real potential for use. Of course, you're going to see many more of these subsea completions come in as we get into deeper water as soon as we find out how we can connect those subsea. Well, you just can't get down deep enough to do the welding and all the pipe work that needs to be done. I don't know whether I hold much hope for the basic articulated structure or not. It's a possible. I think you'll see it preventing columns, that sort of thing. But right now, the ones that look good in my mind is the tension leg and the guide platform.
You know, one thing that has impressed me about the Gulf of Mexico operations, and I understand now they're beginning to do it out in the North Sea. We used to see an awful lot of flared gas, and now, of course, we don't flare gas out in the Gulf of Mexico. And I understand that they're beginning to re-inject that gas now in the North Sea. Is that correct?
Well, that's my understanding. Of course, I haven't been in the North Sea recently, but it's my understanding the whole world is becoming conservation conscious, following our steps. In fact, I guess we just read a few days ago about one of the United Arab Emirates taking over all the gas. He obviously is planning on conserving that for his kingdom.
I see. Well, we've been talking with Chuck Hutchinson, manager of Atlantic Richfield's South Texas district. We're going to be moving from here over to the drill ship, the Java C. So stay with us, please. Ship Java C, talking with Chuck Hutchinson, who is manager of ARCO's South Texas district. Chuck, we're drilling an exploratory well here. How deep do you plan to go with this well?
Well, we're programmed to 14,000 feet. If it's possible to drill deeper without encountering difficulty, we may. If we have to stop,
tried to bust that.
Sorry, it was about, almost fell over. Are you getting camera motion in there? We're here on the deck of Global Marine's drill ship, the Java C, which is being leased to Atlantic Richfield Company. We're talking with Mr. C.A. Hutchinson, who is manager of Atlantic's South Texas district. Chuck, you're drilling an exploratory well here. How deep are you planning to go with this well?
Well, our present program is to go to 14,000 feet. When you're in pretty much unknown territory, you don't know how deep you're going to go. Hopefully, we'll make at least the 14,000.
This is a pretty expensive rig, I would imagine, to operate per day. What's the relative cost of the Java C?
Well, when you say relative to what? But let's just put it in terms of dollars per day. It's costing us about $52,000 a day. When you consider all the ancillary equipment, the choppers, all drilling equipment, and so on. Needless to say, we don't want to slip and miss 15 minutes any time because it costs a lot of money.
We're in about how deep of water right here?
About 400 feet.
400 feet. And you were telling me a few minutes ago that these platforms we see off in the distance there are in a lot shallower water.
That's right. We're approaching a spot where the continental shelf has a rather abrupt change from a few hundred feet to 600 feet, and then it drops off very rapidly. Just out here behind us, where we could almost throw a stone to where the continental shelf just breaks off.
I see. We're out about how far from the coastal line of Louisiana?
Oh, well, recall that we're just off the mouth of the Mississippi, and that the delta comes out quite a ways, but to a point where you could actually sit down and take a place like Houma, Louisiana. Well, we're probably about 50 miles off.
What about if you are fortunate enough to find something at the bottom of this hole, what size of a reservoir are you looking for to make this whole operation pay off?
Well, you have to determine that in terms of where you start from. Right now, we already have some sunk costs. We paid a considerable amount of money to the federal government for the lease here. We're now drilling the first exploratory well. We may drill several more. Once we have a discovery, we then have to look at costs that need to be invested thereafter. In this depth of water, we have to look at something that approaches 75, 80 million barrels to make future investments worthwhile.
That's a pretty substantial reservoir, but what about comparable area along the, not a comparable area, but a comparable situation along the Atlantic East Coast of the United States?
Well, you're operating there in a little more hostile environment, hostile from the standpoint of nature. You're also in a spot where you don't have the logistical setup that we have here. So in the early stages of development, if there is any development off the Atlantic coast, you've got to find a bigger reservoir. You may be talking in terms of 100 million barrels as being the minimum economic size.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We've been visiting here for a few moments with Chuck Hutchinson, aboard the deck of Global Marine's Java Sea. Please stay with us.